This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I had a little bit of alcohol last night. Not that I have a drinking problem. I don't want anybody to think that.
No, Joe.
Omar Kelly's with us all day, Dan Day, filling in all day, you know, and I thank you for always being on time and ready to go with us. So I appreciate that. As Woody's wife's okay, man. She went through a little accident, a little car accident, but is doing a lot better. And so good news there. We open up about everything.
Yeah,
that we're doing here. But hey,
your family, Joe, and Woody's family.
So man. So he's got the little ones, and actually, I think they're actually still in school. In their schools is not on a break. But anyway, hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. How about this for the Marlins? You start the season, and it's just such a cool story. Nice crowd, obviously, opening day. Great crowd. We had a blast. They were so nice. I can't thank them enough for the way we were treated. Was with Dan Marino last night, and they treated us great. When Jeff Conine and LeVon Hernandez came over, and Charles Johnson, and we met the front office and a lot of people. But they were down through 7 innings, 4-2. They came back, got a walk-off in the ninth. Kyle Stowers, just what a nice story, man. Can you imagine that? And you got a lot of guys on this team that are trying to get themselves going in the major leagues that, you know, really haven't had a chance to play a lot of games. They're young guys, and boy, what a great start. I can't even imagine you're Kyle Stowers, and you're able to come up with that big hit in the bottom of the ninth, a walk-off at that, and then seeing Sandy Alcantara back on the mound, still here, and it was good. It was good stuff. 4 2/3 innings, and a strikeout 7, but first time out in a year after Tommy John. A lot of good stuff there. The Heat win their third straight game last night. Tyler Herro, 36 points. 7 players in double-double. All of a sudden, they got their mojo back here a little bit after losing 10 straight, and we'll jump into some of that stuff. The Gators get a win in basketball last night as one of the number one seeds. We could have a Final Four number one seeds. All 4 number one seeds could. We got to find out what happens tonight, Houston.
When's the last time that's happened?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
I would say never.
You don't think?
Never all number ones. Never all number ones in the Final Four.
Wow. Now, it's not going to be easy. I see Bama and Duke got to play, although some people think, you watch Duke last night, they not only have the best player, I don't even know if it's up for a topic. I haven't seen every guy play, so I'd be lying to you. You seen this kid from Duke,
6'10"? Yes, I have.
I hadn't heard of him until he worked out and he got invited to play against the Olympic team. And he tore it up, and LeBron knows guys go. Where the hell did this young kid come from?
Mm-hmm, that's where
out
he
of high
his
school.
Name.
Yeah, that got him rolling, and then
probably built his confidence too.
Well, he's probably had a lot. It sounds like he's been good all day, Dan Day. How good is that kid? I mean, Hollywood saw him play down here. By the way, you know, when Duke plays half the games, he didn't get to play the second half for that long because they're so good. They got a bunch of great players on that team.
So Hollywood says he's one of the best, if not the best, college prospect he's ever seen. At 6'10", aggressive, got skills, and he's long, he's athletic. He's from Maine, but he played at Monteverde.
Yeah.
Of course.
Little powerhouse.
Powerhouse.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's got all the tools. If he stays healthy.
They call it a Big Mac, the Big Mac school, because everybody plays in that McDonald's All-American game. Yeah, when you're there. You know, I always got to be careful because I'm old, and Woody does do that a lot, Omar, where he comes in, he goes, this is the best guy I've ever seen.
Yeah, nah.
And then I go,
nah. I'm thinking Grant Hill, Allen Iverson, Tim Duncan.
Well, he said he got to see. Did he get to say? He said in person he's
in
ever
person,
seen.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But person. He's covered a lot of ACC games.
But I got to
throughout
you,
his tenure here.
I got to go see some of those great UCLA teams when they came up to play Cal.
Uh huh.
And man, I'm always really careful. Or when my dad took me to a Cal game when the UCLA teams with John Wooden were down there, and
yeah,
it was a who's who of. I'm always careful when somebody says the best player I've ever seen. You know when people do, and hey, listen, we do it on everything. I mentioned one day, and yeah, I had everybody fired up that this is the best. We just saw something in college football. A kid from South Florida going right to college. I said he's by far Jeremiah Smith, the best true freshman I've ever seen. Not even close. First year.
Mm-hmm.
And then people don't hear you, and they're going, what are you talking about? You start naming all these great players. I said, I know they were great, man, through 3 years, but nobody got off to this kind of start where you literally,
okay,
Jeremiah Smith would be the first wide receiver taken in this draft.
Okay.
I didn't say first overall player. He would be, and that's not me talking. That's everybody in the business.
You make an excellent point, something that I've thought about this week for some reason. I said to myself, why do they still have this rule where players have to stay here for 3 years in the NFL? I know Maurice Claret challenged it, but these college players, they're taking down every single rule.
Well, Jeremiah Smith happens to be part of his greatness, besides he's really fast and got great hands, is he is 6'3", 220,
yeah,
220. He's a big...
Shaman Amadonna? Okay.
Shaman JoJo Trader on one side, who's now the number one receiver for the Canes, coming back for his second year. But if there's ever been a guy ready after 1 year,
mm-hmm,
and you know, I don't know if it's ever going to happen that they've been able to hold it to 3 years in college.
Yeah, he should think about challenging that.
Jeremiah Smith.
He's going to leave a lot of money on the table.
Well, he
well, actually,
they're
no,
telling
no,
me he
actually,
is the highest.
Highest paid player in college football? Athletics?
I don't know if he's the highest because we got a couple quarterbacks, including one down here.
You mean that one?
There's a guy in Oklahoma that went from Washington State to Oklahoma, and he was down to final, and he ended up going to Oklahoma, and they're saying he got five.
Okay. Yeah.
But they're saying Jeremiah Smith to stay,
mm-hmm,
had to pay him some money this year.
Yeah, I believe it.
Oh. Jeremiah Smith is now flying first class when he comes home.
First class?
First class, maybe.
Why not private? Right, why not private?
Hey, by the way, what are we going to do when we find out? Because now I'm getting used to the fact that we have a quarterback down here. It's got like two foreign cars. He got a nice Mercedes, and he got the two cars that got stolen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mercedes. And he's a Lamborghini or Ferrari.
Okay.
Ferrari. I don't know.
And so somebody said, I go, I can't believe it. And go, man, you got to stop being so old school. There's a lot of dudes making a lot of money that are driving nice-ass cars, ain't listening to anybody, and like, oh, no, I want both of them, you know. And
Yeah. I mean, you live in a dream as a college player. I will say this, Joe, because this is a good conversation for the 6 o'clock hour. I was on the phone with one of my agent friends who, you know, he hadn't dabbled into the high school recruiting development NIL yet. He's still old school. He wanted to do
the college guys only?
He's doing college guys only. And
I didn't know till recently this topic. It's very funny.
And a coach, and I'm not going to name the coach, but that coach just so happened to have left the NFL to go do colleges. And that coach knows his ability to identify talent, because some guys can spot it and some guys can't.
That's
and
true.
That's a just, gift. That is just like.
That's a gift. I agree.
Yeah, that is. And I swear to God, that's in the NFL too. You got GMs. Some know how to spot it. Some don't. And that coach is convincing him to go. You need to do the NIL, because you know what?
What's legal in this state?
It's legal. And so, you know, and he was telling me in the SEC, if you're an SEC offensive lineman, at the minimum, I didn't say starter, I said SEC offensive lineman, at the minimum, you're making $750,000.
Yeah.
In the SEC. So, and obviously.
Not everybody has that budget, but I don't disagree. Like, if we were to name all the schools that are in this business right now, look, I'm watching SEC basketball. Well, they still got. They're still the story.
Yeah, because they're paying.
They got, what, six teams still in the tournament?
Because they're paying.
Look, take it from a guy who grew up in SEC country and went to an SEC school, LSU. It's cute what everybody else does. But in the South, in the SEC country, your goal is to graduate from your university, make a boat ton of money, and give back to the athletic program. That's what people do. That is their goal. So that's why the SEC is so successful.
That's one of the reasons. You're right. When you don't have a big daddy or two, I would agree. It's to get people who've had success and enjoyed their experience to come back, have tickets, and feel like you're a bigger part of it by giving to one of the players who ends up being really good. That touches the ego. I don't disagree with that. But Omar, I didn't even know recently. I just take a step closer to home. I got a list of a couple guys that are on NIL deals down here for high school.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say any names because I don't know if the father would appreciate it or not or be proud of it, because it's legal. It's not illegal, but I was blown away. I just found out there's a divide in Broward and Dade County. Nike and Adidas are going at it with putting their names on, because we have some great public and private schools.
Yeah.
We got some, listen, Central and Northwestern. Hello, public schools, as good as there is in the country.
Yep.
And then as far as private goes, that thing going on at Chaminade Madonna now, American Heritage Plantation.
That last thing I knew.
St. Thomas Aquinas.
I have a high school friend he was a manager for Flo Rida, and his son, Prince, is like all-American in track.
Oh, I didn't know. I saw Flo last night.
Yeah, you probably
walked saw right by my wife and of course, you know, some of the people I'm with had no idea who he was. And my daughter goes, "Oh my God." We all stopped. She goes, "What?" She goes, "He was performing after the
concert." Flo Rida.
Yeah. I didn't know
Flo Rida's like city mayor of City of Miami.
Is he Carroll City guy?
Yes, he's Carroll City guy.
No wonder. He has a
$10 million project in Cloverleaf, which is area that everybody used to be a bowling.
Didn't Flo hit the jackpot besides his music on
that is true
on the Celsius thing.
That is true. He won a lawsuit with Celsius. He had money before that. Now.
Yeah, he did, but he got double retirement money out of that deal. That deal for the Celsius thing was huge.
And he's putting that money right into the neighborhood. And I respect and appreciate
that. That's great. I know that.
Post game was fun though. But Joe, tell us about the first pitch. That's what everybody's been asking about.
Nothing.
There's nothing.
Don't drop it.
When was the last time you had a catcher's mitt in your hand?
By the way, I wasn't a catcher, but it was a small glove, one of those infield gloves that one of the Marlins players gave me. Just don't drop it. And I was worried about – I hadn't played catch in decades, and I know Dan Marino hadn't thrown a baseball in decades.
So you guys didn't decide that you wanted to put some work into on that?
We threw one day.
Okay.
After work one morning, I was with all day, and he said, "Hey, when you're done, why don't you come up? We'll turn back the clock a little bit and play catch." I go, "All right." So I did.
Because you can't embarrass yourself.
Very funny, though. People driving by.
I just imagine.
They look over, and he's out there like, "What the fuck?" You ever see something weird?
Like, yes.
Just imagine.
Hold on. You do it in the front yard, the backyard. You take it to the
No, he didn't want to do it. We went out in the street. So people were driving by. And this lady kind of, she gets that look, and then another lady's walking and goes, she goes, oh, why do you have a baseball in your hand? She didn't know what to say. Yeah, nothing. We're just playing catch.
And tell the world you're coming out of retirement.
Yeah. No. Don't get that started. Don't,
hey, man,
don't
made,
get that
he
started.
He made a commercial.
Yeah, oh, that's right. He did. Hey, we got a lot of stuff to get to here. It's a busy time. College basketball back last night. Gators moving on. Duke also looked great for the number one seeds. Miami Open is now set for the finals with the women. We can't get rid of the Buffalo Bills. We just cannot get rid of the Buffalo Bills. I'll tell you all about that. Semifinals as well for the Miami Open. So a lot of tennis still left for today and tomorrow and Sunday. And then, Omar, it's off to some pretty important meetings coming up, plus a chance to see the head coach.
That's right. And owners meeting, which
owners
is right
meetings
here in our backyard,
in Palm Beach. So everybody will be moving up there to and we got a lot of stuff. We'll jump into some of the changes that they're trying to make. I actually thought about one last night. I want you to think about what's going to happen, and I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to sign off on the onside.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I kick. We just got some information that we are passing along bad information, and so I wanted everybody to know. Want to thank Scott. Just looked at my phone, and I'm glad I did, because 2008, all number one seeds made it to the Final Four. So this is not the first time, if it happens. By the way, still may not happen. We'll see. Although, man, I ain't betting against Duke right now.
That year, Kansas, which eventually won the championship, Memphis, North Carolina, and UCLA all made it
Final
Four.
Speaking of old traditional, you expect. Say those four again.
Kansas, Memphis, yes. North Carolina, and UCLA.
Well, North Carolina and UCLA. First of all, you could have said UCLA when I was growing up. Matter of fact, you could go, they're going to be in the Final Four. Check that. They're just going to win it all. But North Carolina, of course, had, yeah.
When I was growing up, it was Kansas, UNC, and Duke.
North Carolina, of
those
course, Michael Jordan and James. Oh, you can go through
the
list. I started to do that.
Speaking, the greatest player I ever saw in on the college level in person was Vince Carter. And Vince Carter, I think he played like 3 years at UNC.
Well, back then, those guys did go at least 3 years.
Yeah. But I don't think I ever saw Allen Iverson in person. I might have. I'm not sure. Allen Iverson, man, he was a phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was a game changer.
By the way, you know he's a great football player?
Yes, I do. I always have.
LeBron James is a great high school football player.
Yes, I do. I remember I covered Bobby Bowden at Florida State, the great late Bobby Bowden, rest in peace. And one of the favorite stories he ever told me was I asked him one time, who's the best high school player that you ever saw? And he in his old Bobby Bowden twang and slang, he's like, you know what? There's this young guy who he played basketball too. I believe he's in the NBA from Virginia. And at that time, this was before Curry, because Curry also came from that area too, and he played in North Carolina. And I'm like, Allen Iverson? He's like, yeah, that's him. And
yeah.
Allen had
his highlights when they were showing his documentary and the problems, of course, some of the stuff that went on. But
yeah.
But it's
he was
funny.
A quarter, but he was a.
I'm always careful because when I think of Florida State and he starts talking, I think of Deion right away.
Who? That never comes to mind because I never was old enough to see Deion.
Well, Deion was a Fort Myers. He's a Fort Myers kid. He's from not too far away. But, the kid's been able to, like real fast track speed to start with his great skill set.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to take away from Hester and all the things he did. But if we were talking about a guy that was truly just return kicks his whole life. And that's all he did. Like he did in Atlanta when he first started, before he started playing the 49ers and the Cowboys. Deion Sanders is, his return skills, and he danced with you half the way down because he's so fast. And Devin, of course, could fly too. But
yeah.
But anyway,
covered him too.
We wanna thank that information coming in this morning on that. We got all kinds of stuff going on here this morning. I tell you, I always say this is fantastic time. First of all, the Miami Open. For those of you that have tickets to see. So I got to tell you, man, and I actually like her. She's a fireball. She's from the United States. And so this Jessica Pegula,
okay,
you know her father is? Does that sound familiar? That'd be the owner of the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, okay.
That one.
Okay.
And her father also owns the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay. Yeah.
All
right.
And all her brother, and God bless her, because all her brothers and sisters work for the team. See the sun up there, and they sit next to us, or we sit next to them in our broadcast. The only stadium where we sit next, and they don't put anything to block it, and so I sit there, so I become pretty good friends with the owner.
Okay.
I always hear things about him. I go, he's great with me, and he loves to talk tennis.
They're so fresh and new at owning the Pegula family.
Well, he's had it for a while now. I don't know how many years he's had it, but anyway, his daughter is one of the best players in the world, and she's back in the finals against Sabalenka, but she can't help herself going, yeah, man, I just feel so comfortable, like my family does playing down there.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no, that's part of why she's so good, yes. And now I got to give her credit, but she couldn't let it go, like, yeah,
they've owned the team since 2014.
Okay.
She didn't disrespect us like that. That's our
house. She goes, yeah, well, listen, that's her family business, you know,
Wow. She just threw shade like that.
Yeah, and of course, that father, like, soon as I start talking tennis, because usually guys up there getting ready, you know, my guys aren't sitting up there talking tennis, and they say, yeah, this guy's a tennis junkie. So he goes, man, I love going down to that tournament, the Miami Open. I tell Mr. Ross when we get into meetings, I go, that thing's great. So he'll be down here for tomorrow.
Yeah.
The finals. Just watch his daughter against the number one player in the world.
And then he's got his big meetings in Palm Beach. Man, when it's in Palm Beach, that's when Boss Ross.
Well.
He pimps. He pimps out there now.
He won't talk, though, right?
No, he will not talk. I you know what?
Can you grab him when he's walking through and go, yeah, hey, Mr. Ross? What's your game plan going up there for golf and stuff?
I can't put it out here in the airwaves, because then certain people will counter it. But I got a plan. Ross used to talk to us all the time.
I think he likes to talk.
He loves to talk, which
it's
is why
just
they,
everybody around him.
That's correct. And, like, I'm sorry, we haven't heard from
he's
you.
He's actually really good. Like, you get him one-on-one, he's
great.
Yeah. And I think they even get a little nervous when he and I are just in the corner, one-on-one.
Absolutely. But that's the thing. I'm sorry. This is your team, your franchise, your organization. People are doing things, making decisions on your accord. I need more.
Final say still goes through Big Daddy.
We used to sit with him for 30 minutes every year at the owner's meeting.
Even at this age, and I don't know what it is. I've lost track. Is it 82, 83, 84? Whatever.
Yeah.
He still has final say on decisions.
Yeah.
I don't think he's getting here.
The biggest question that we have that I don't think has been answered, and I don't think it should really be any of our business. Did you close the wallet this offseason? Looking at all your deals, you have a long, elaborate history. I could tell you the 2 years that they did not spend money in the offseason, and this has now become a third.
He spent a lot last year. When those contracts were extended.
It's $120 million
a lot of guys got a lot of money.
Exactly. Bonus. That's checks he's got to write. $120 million. Checks he's got to write. I get it. I understand. And should you feel some type of way that you did that and you got an 8-19? Yes, you should.
I think somewhere between Brandon Shore.
Okay.
Who runs finances. Well, somebody got to look out for the team to do the right thing and not.
Man, so let it be somebody good at their job. Go ahead, continue.
He's working off the general manager.
Uh-huh.
And those guys, they deal directly with the owner.
Yeah, okay. And I don't have.
So would you have wanted to go out and spend crazy money to.
I would not have wanted to go
You're
out.
You're the one tell us we got to be responsible financially.
I respect what they did. They were fiscally responsible. But this was, and I don't want to be disrespectful, Joe. You know how you can your wife can go out shopping and she can hit Ross and TJ Maxx and those stores and maybe you find something good. You know, and you're like, look at this find I just got.
Yeah, I didn't even know about TJ Maxx till recently. I went there with my sister.
I think TJ Maxx is the upscale Ross. Yeah, there's levels to that to that little discount.
Not taking shots, but no, yeah, had good stuff in there. She was buying.
Yeah, I think you can get jewelry from TJ Maxx.
Right.
Good, pretty decent jewelry. Then there's the Dollar Tree. And there's no disrespect.
Now you're getting in all the things, but go ahead, get to your point before you start bringing all these stories in here.
No disrespect to people who have to shop at the Dollar Tree. I was in there yesterday. Times is hard right now, Joe. I had to go in my car and get some change.
We got Dollar Trees where I grew up. There's Dollar Trees all over. It just gives you an idea of where you stand. They're all over Marysville, California. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. This is Dollar Tree shopping this year.
I saw what the amount of money guy signed for.
Yeah.
I just saw Eichenberg got a $2 million guaranteed deal.
Fully guaranteed. Yep. I mean, and there's no respect for Eichenberg because that's a pretty decent deal. And at the worst, I can trade Eichenberg. At the worst, I cut him. Somebody else claims him because he could play five positions. So I don't have to. I'm not even worried about that deal. That deal. Now the problem that I do have, and I wrote this in the Miami Herald.
He had other offers?
No.
Okay, go ahead. But down the road,
I'm being
when
honest.
Guys get hurt and stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm
like,
sorry.
Like Dan Feeney, bring this up because you know. Dan Feeney, they signed 2 years ago. He was horrible. They gave him a one-year, $3.25 million fully guaranteed deal.
I didn't get that deal.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And they were able to trade him for like a sixth-round pick at the end of training camp when he wasn't even going to make the team.
Right.
So offensive linemen signing the fully guaranteed deals, no problem.
We're going back to this.
Don't act like, and this is why, like, did the old man tell you put my credit card away?
So I think he listens to the people. I don't think he put it away to this extent because, listen, the value of in the big picture, he's winning every day. Yeah. Like the money of.
Yeah.
This thing's worth $10 billion.
Yeah.
That piece of property over there is $10 billion plus dollars right now. He could sell tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's got rich guys trying to buy it from him.
Mm-hmm.
Family goes, no, it's been a great investment.
He's got an F1
We bought as kind of a toy, and this thing has been one hell of an investment.
Yes.
And we're really enjoying it. He's down there at the tennis. He loves it.
He loves throwing major events. And I don't hide the fact that I still think
it's a great question that you're getting back to.
And there's no shame in that. But here's the thing. If you did that, are you giving these guys, the Desperado Dolphins, a legitimate chance? And I don't have a problem with you signing a guy who's...
I got to follow up to this.
I don't have a problem with you signing a guy who's basically everybody you signed, this is it for them. This is it.
He's being told what we say every day is not what he's being told by his people who are trying to keep their jobs and keep this thing going. You know that. You think Chris Greer is going to the owner this offseason, and even if they're together in the next few days, telling them, we passed our time, we gave it a shot, but Chris never says, I didn't do a good enough job.
I've heard him say, I didn't do a good enough job. I've heard him say that many times.
Okay, I have not heard that. I've heard him say that. Anyway, okay,
The one thing I won't allow people to say is that this man passes the buck or doesn't take responsibility. I've heard him say multiple times, I didn't do a good enough job.
Okay. I haven't heard it, so you're good for you. All right, and then that's fair. But what do you think he's going to sell to the owner?
Here's a question that Steve Ross should be asking. The free agency that we just had and the team that we have assembled right now, can we beat the Buffalo Bills? Can we win the AFC East?
No.
So what are we doing?
So you better hit a home. I'm on this thing every day, and you've worked with me, and it's consistent since seeing Chris Greer. You better have one effing great draft.
One hell of a draft. This got
to
be.
I said that to you this morning when you came in. Yeah. We got going and all this stuff.
I wrote it in the Herald. I'm like, you got to have the greatest draft in Dolphins history right now. Like, to just even give yourself a chance.
I do think Chris wanted to spend more money and go after some guys. And by the way, you've talked to the agents, so you know we did get calls on a lot of our guys, but the Dolphins' offers were too low.
Correct.
I heard that myself. As a matter of fact, you said it, and then I called some people that I don't get along with all the agents, and some of them I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Dolphins, they just, they weren't big. Yeah.
So maybe indirectly it does go back to the owner.
I will say this. There are certain areas where there are just glaring holes.
Yes. And like never before.
Like never before.
You don't have people at certain positions.
Yes. Like your defensive line, you've only got one guy who belongs
to
the NFL.
How about another starting corner?
Correct. And now, if they have,
you got to play with three of them.
Yeah.
And you need, and three of them staying healthy all year, you need five.
You need five. You need five. I've covered the Dolphins for 17 seasons. I've never spent a year covering this team where they didn't need five cornerbacks to make it through the season. Hasn't been a single season.
I'm guessing they're okay with Storm. They trust Storm.
It don't matter.
But you still need more guys.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
My thought, and there's talk, you got something out there for Jair Alexander in Green Bay. He's on the trade market. He's really, really ridiculously expensive. There's a reason why you created all this cap space, because they've created cap space. Are you trying to pull off a draft day trade?
Maybe.
Yeah.
By the way, that's what makes this next 3.5 weeks fun.
Yeah. No.
What are we going to do in the draft? Because could we slide? We got a lot of time to talk about this, and we're way behind right now. But we do have a lot of stuff going on. And by the way, had a lot of good news last night. I knew I was going to get to that. This is what happens when you drink and you stay out late. Marlins comeback last night.
And the Heat win their third straight win. Good stuff last night
for two of our teams. Miami Open still going strong. Gators. Win for you. And Duke is still alive, man. Duke is, I don't know if anybody can beat him or not. 193. They got a little shootout last night, but I'll tell you one thing. He is the best player. You don't even have to say his name. He is the best player in the country. Marlins had to come back from 4-2 down and get a nice walk-off. How about that start for Kyle Stowers? Pretty damn cool, man. Bases loaded. Ninth inning. Hits one down the line. And that's it on a comeback against the Pirates. And so anyway, nice opening day. Nice, obviously, a real nice crowd there as well. And everybody kind of into it, having baseball back. And now we'll see. But then on top of that, the Heat down the road a little bit, not too far away, get their third straight win. Tyler Hero goes for 36 points, hits 13 of 17 shots, seven guys and players in double figures for a second night of playing basketball. 17 of 25 against Golden State, and they go, no, we can do better. 18 of 33. They're knocking down threes right now. Very interesting, too, folks, why that's the good news, and everybody's been productive. Jaime Jaquez and Terry Rozier are not playing at all. I mean, they're at a point now where he's playing the best guys that are healthy, and Jaime Jaquez and Terry Rozier, who used to be a big part of this, or starting. Jaime Jaquez had a great rookie year.
Sophomore slump.
I guess. Yeah, no, it does happen to some guys. You know what's funny? Like, second year after I got my feet wet, I came back with confidence. And like now you know. You're not sure your first year. And
How
am I going to match up out of college? And am I going to be able to do this or that? And I know they kept me, but
it's
just fake.
And your mind's still spinning about the playbook and the call.
All that. That's a good point, too. And am I going to do the right thing if I run the wrong thing? This guy, I know this guy's got no tolerance for mental or physical mistakes. And I was like, damn, this is – and then but you're right, man. We saw it. C.J. Stroud didn't come back and look like close to the same guy with Houston. That's the first guy I always think of. Not that –
yeah,
I don't think he can still be really good. And his bad year, he still got him to the playoffs. So let's not get too carried away. Hey, so you brought up some really good stuff that we talked. talked about, and everybody's kind of all over the board, and you can imagine what all the conversations with former players, and even last night, some of the Marlin guys we were talking, they all want to know, like, hey, what's going on, you know? And everybody sees the free agents, and you can see what they've done or haven't done, or we got this guy, and he's coming off an Achilles, but they think he's going to be good, or these guys have been part-time starters. And so basically, you got a lot of players on the cheap, to your point that you brought up.
That is correct.
It goes back to, and we can break it down, and it could happen, what you talked about, a big trade right before the draft. That could happen if they feel they can't put enough. But no matter what, Chris Greer's got to have a really good draft. And if, by the way, if he decides to slide down out of 13 to 16 or 17, if a couple of spots to pick up a third or fourth round pick, I'm okay with that. But that doesn't change that first pick's got to be really friggin' good.
Absolutely. Got to be.
And this draft's got to have
first couple picks. It's not even just a first pick, because you're missing two defensive linemen, you're missing a starting cornerback, you're missing a starting offensive guard, and are you sure that you've addressed your tackle position? Because I don't expect Toronto to come back. So are you certain that you have addressed your tackle position?
Well, I would just say, for all those needs, you're right. I still
and,
think
and
they
you have
need
the most
impact.
Fragile quarterback in the NFL. Remember that.
Well, they've already showed their hand on who the backup is. So that's, I mean, we can talk about whether he's the guy or not, but
I'm not putting my future in his hands.
Well, they did.
You're right.
$6 million guaranteed.
Well,
Mike, you wanted him. There's no way Chris threw that guy down your throat, because we know Chris doesn't throw anybody down anybody's throat.
That is correct.
Coach. So that's your guy.
That is you, who you personally chose.
But you know what? At the end, when people ask me, I go, listen, man, this thing with this salary cap and stuff, you just can't go out and buy big player and extend contracts the way we did, almost too much. So now we're in a situation, you got to draft well. You just have
they
to draft
have to.
Well.
They have to, Joe. You're backed into a corner.
So anyway, that's it. And they go, wow, that doesn't sound great. So you mean guys? I go, no, guys out of college need to, there's going to be some guys don't even know they're going to be here that better get ready. Better get ready to play. Because
only thing that can save you, in my opinion, one, if Calais Campbell comes back. Two, if you trade for Jair Alexander. And he has a ridiculous contract, by the way, Joe. When I say ridiculous, it's a bad contract, which is why he's a good player on the trade block. And then there's also George Kittle, in my opinion. He's going to probably be moved during the draft if he cannot get an extension. Because, as you know, nobody's playing with an expiring contract. Yeah. Nobody of his stature is playing.
Not as good as he is.
They've got a ton of cap space. Why haven't you redone that deal? And if you haven't redone
that deal. I don't think either one of those deals get done. You can't go
Jair
out and spend.
Alexander? You don't think
you
he gets moved?
You can't pay a second corner.
I mean, they're going to rework the deal. They're going to rework the deal.
And Kittle, to me, by the way, might be the best tight end in football. I don't disagree.
Yeah.
But we got a real good receiving tight end.
Yeah.
We don't need to.
Okay.
We need a blocking guy.
No. But he's a blocking. Kittle's a blocking guy. Imagine if you had two really good receiving tight
ends. I got you. No, he's the best blocking.
Because your base offense is two tight ends.
He is the best blocking wide receiving tight end combo, I think. It's not even close.
Here's my question to you, Joe. And this is just thinking out loud here.
Well, I'm glad that's why we're here.
If you can get Kittle for a second round pick,
still got to pay him.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that
too many
that's what
needs.
You do. That's what you do, brother. You trade for the elite player. You give him the money.
I don't.
That's
think,
a Dolphin special.
But I think that's done. I think that's done right now.
Maybe for the right player, it's not.
I think it's done. There's no way you're going to be able to sell. People that are knowledgeable about this
get a Hall
team,
of Fame,
that
Hall
one
of Fame
guy,
player?
One guy is going to make a difference on this whole team. You've loaded up. You've shown your hand on who's getting paid. Your hand is, and now you can't change it.
Okay, you're now.
So we're going to run two tight end. We're going to run two tight end offense.
Yeah, two tight end offense with those two wide receivers.
Two wide receivers.
It would work, and you fix up your offensive line a little bit. My thought process is. If you add,
you got Kittle really coming here.
I've been having Kittle really coming here because there's an end of the year when the Miami Dolphins played the San Francisco 49ers.
Kittle had a great game.
No. At the end of the game, when he is talking to players are talking to coaches, they got Mike mic'd up. Mike goes up to Kittle, and he says, he doesn't say a single word, except, "So Florida's a great place to live. South Florida's a great place to live."
And Mike's not the GM.
Mike.
We can't. Mike needs to coach what he has.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
Listen, man, we got to start looking at things differently around here. No more.
I think they.
So you think they're trying to sell this owner at the end of the day and whoever's around the owner?
Until Kittle gets an extension, because it's
first
clearly going to happen.
Then they are really showing their hand that they have they checked out if they don't get him re-signed. He is, by the way, he's in a 30-year-old club.
He is. But why hasn't he been re-signed yet?
Well, it's hard to give guys those big contracts.
So you think he's going to be okay with staying there on a expiring contract?
No, but I think they're going to get a deal, try to get a deal done with him. I'd be a little surprised. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I think he's really good now. That's not the question. The question is, are we really going to go and now have two of the highest paid wide receivers and tight end in the same offense?
Why not?
You see how many teams have done that. You check in on that. Not the two wide receivers, but now paying a tight end a lot of money.
The Eagles, Dallas Goedert is a top five paid tight end. They got the two highest paid wide receivers, the highest paid running back. Somehow it magically worked with a defense. The highest paid defensive coordinator in the league.
Well, the defensive coordinator done that. That didn't count against the cap.
I agree with you, but somehow they magically made it work.
I really dislike your idea about the. And by the way, he's a great player, but we need to balance this out and fill some holes. And
that helps you balance it out.
That's not certainly a big help hole
you.
On this team.
Certainly helps you be a better running team.
This is not the problem of this team. And not before you worry about tight end, worry about the guys inside the tight end.
I'm worried about it. That's my top priority.
And by the way, we got to get back to drafting. If you like a tight end so damn much, get a 22-year-old tight end.
That's true.
Go get Mason Taylor.
You're absolutely correct.
Go get Mason Taylor.
Yeah, but you got to wait on it. While George Kittle is a Hall of Famer.
I know, but you know what? The season can't just be save my job for the next 6-7 months. My job needs to be to make sure we're in good shape for the following year. You're not selling me on this.
I already proved to you.
So don't put the Kittle stuff out.
I already proved to you that the season's not about saving my job right now. I went and shopped at the Dollar Tree. Can I shop at the Dollar Tree if I'm going to go buy a big ticket item later?
Somebody has run out of their trips to the store here pretty soon.
I mean, there's nothing left at the Dollar Tree anymore.
Hey, man, we got to go to break here. We've got the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up here, man, on a Friday. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff to get to. How about that? Start the baseball season with a nice ninth inning comeback win, walk off. Are you kidding me? I had everything. Kyle Stowers last night. What a start, man. I'll tell you what, I'd be sleeping real well going, damn. Yeah, that sometimes that doesn't happen all season for a guy. He gets it in the first game.